in some areas by midday. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Focus Features, presenting the new film Promised Land, starring Matt Damon and John Krasinski, and from the director of Good Will Hunting, now playing everywhere.
You're listening to Morning Edition on WCVE Public Radio. Columnist Jeff Shapiro joins us now from the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his weekly analysis of Virginia political news. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Wayne. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Well, the fiscal cliff fiasco this week, we barely avoided going over the cliff due to last-minute action in Congress, which certainly didn't permanently solve the issue. But Virginians played a prominent role. 10 of the 11 Virginia congressmen, all the Republicans and two of the three Democrats in Virginia's delegation in the House, voted against the final plan.
And, of course, that included Eric Cantor, the majority leader from suburban Henrico here in the Richmond area. Only one member of the delegation, a Democrat from Northern Virginia, Jerry Connolly, voted for this Senate-authored deal, at the heart of which are those Bush tax cuts, essentially making permanent those Bush tax cuts for many Americans. Connolly says he really had to hold his nose on that vote. But why it was opposed, the Republicans, of course, complained that it did not include spending cuts. But one wonders why they would not have been content, at a minimum, content with making permanent so many of those Bush-era tax cuts that had been an article of faith among Republicans. But there are concerns among Democrats, such as Bobby Scott and Jim Moran, the two who opposed it, about what all of this means downrange for federal spending, federal employment. And as we have discussed many times on this air, the federal government is responsible for a huge slice of the Virginia economy. 26% of the gross state product is tied directly to federal spending, civilian and military. So there are plenty of reasons for some of the Virginians to dig in.
For a while there, it looked like there might be a coup in the House Republican caucus against Speaker John Boehner. Of course, you had the far right wing Tea Party type members who opposed any taxes being increased, and some of the Northeastern Republicans were very upset with him for putting off a vote on Hurricane Sandy relief aid. Eric Cantor, the majority leader, number two Republican in the House, actually got a few votes for Speaker. And Boehner barely won a majority of the votes to be reelected.
Yes, another not too flattering moment for Mr. Cantor. Again, you know, he comes across as the villain, if you will, the unreliable heavy by breaking with Boehner on the fiscal cliff bill. It's important to note Eric Cantor was not alone in resisting that Senate measure. A fellow young gun, Kevin McCarthy from California, he voted no. Now, the other young gun, and the one who's probably best known, Paul Ryan, the defeated vice presidential candidate, he sided with the Speaker. But, of course, as you point out, all of this renews speculation about, you know, a possible Cantor coup for Speaker. Cantor stuck with Boehner, loudly voting for him, and at one point on camera kind of shook his head in disbelief when one member voted for him, Cantor. Now, can Cantor ride this Tea Party wave to the speakership as that wave crested? And, you know, what about his support at home? Yes, he was reelected, but there are certainly lots of signs of lots of discontent, here in the 7th over Cantor's perceived gamesmanship in Congress. And P.S., you point out that this flap over Sandy aid, Governor Christie of New Jersey was careful to draw a distinction between John Boehner and Eric Cantor. Governor Christie was thinking about running for president, just heaped scorn on John Boehner, but heaped praise on Eric Cantor. One wonders if that might have something to do with a shared constituency in the Northeast, Republican-friendly Jewish voters and campaign benefactors.
Virginia has a new United States Senator, Tim Kaine, taking his seat yesterday, succeeding Jim Webb.
Yes, and Tim Kaine taking office with a talking point. This fiscal cliff bill is pretty close to what Kaine was talking about during the campaign with George Allen. Kaine, as you'll recall, proposed that the threshold for reinstating those or making permanent those tax cuts, those Bush tax cuts, was $500,000. It's $400,000, $450,000 individual and family. So he's got something he can talk about as a junior senator from Virginia. Webb, of course, gave a farewell speech, and among the issues on which he really focused in his adieu was that criminal justice reform study that he tried to get through the Senate, but was killed by a Republican filibuster. And Webb is going off to write books and maybe some film workups, and some of his closest friends say he really isn't done with politics yet, even though he couldn't wait to get out of the Senate.
Well, the General Assembly convenes next Wednesday. The governor will give his State of the Commonwealth address Wednesday evening on statewide television and here on WCVE Public Radio. He still hasn't tipped his hand on a couple of issues as to what his position, if any, will be.
That is correct. Transportation, finance, and uranium mining, among them. The governor keeps telling us that he's going to come up with a plan that generates $500 million a year in new cash for transportation. Uranium mining, and clearly there's already been a break in the administration, Bill Bowling supporting the moratorium. Bob McDonald trying to decide what to do, and this is very much a governor in legacy mode, a governor who doesn't seem to have much of one heading into his final full legislative session as governor.
Bill Bowling, who said when he suspended his campaign for governor in the Republican primary, he said he would consider running as an independent, and now it's reported that he's doing a little bit more than considering. He's actually talking to some folks about the feasibility of his running as an independent.
To which I guess I would say, oh, please. Bill Bowling is the consummate team player. His feelings clearly have been bruised by the outmaneuvering by Ken Cuccinelli for the Republican nomination. I suspect that Bill Bowling is going to try to run out this string through the legislative session and see if he can exact something that smells or looks like a concession from Ken Cuccinelli going forward.
Well, if he did run, he could well split the Republican vote in the fall, right?
Yes, and again, this is sort of inconsistent with the image that Bowling has long presented. And one would also point out that as a conservative, Bowling's record is as right of center as Ken Cuccinelli's, in some respects, even more so.
All right, thanks to Jeff Shapiro at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, who joins us each Friday morning at this time to analyze Virginia political news.
On the first Friday of the year, it's more